today. Hello, everybody. This is Josh Price, and you are listening to the Mark Price for Three podcast. Each episode, my dad will be talking NBA basketball, sharing some coaching and instruction, and of course, talking about his faith. Without further delay, here's my dad, Mark Price.
Welcome back to the Mark Price for Three podcast, episode 80. Somebody told me yesterday that they never thought we'd get past 25. Well, they don't know better. We got to episode 80 already. So, Mark, how are you?
I'm good. Not get past 22.
I know, right? I'm like, come on.
Not high expectations for this podcast then, huh?
I'm like, man, come on. All right. But no, it's good. It's episode 80. It is a sad day. It's raining here in Columbus. I don't know if it's raining in Cleveland, but difficult day. You went down 3-1 last night. That was a tough fight, though. And I will give the Cavs a lot of credit. I know a lot of fans are doing that. Just an awesome fight from the guys that were on the floor. They left everything they had and just came up a little short. It would have been so amazing. That would have been one of the greatest wins in Cavalier history if they would have pulled that off last night, in my opinion.
No doubt. Really, your two best players, at least for the playoffs, all of the playoffs, have been Jared Allen and Donovan Mitchell. Yep. So to take both of those guys out of the lineup, you got to give the Cavs credit. They played hard. They had fight. Hey, at the end of the day, it's all about the Jimmys and the Joes, man. And it's just, they had Tatum and they had their guys, yeah. Tatum and Brown, and we didn't have our Jimmys and our Joes. So it's tough. Makes it tough. But the Cavs, like I said, they did Cleveland proud, and the effort that they put forth last night, it just wasn't going to happen. I mean, they would have had to shoot 70% from the field and probably just played the game of their life to win that game. And they battled, but at the end, Boston just was too talented, had too much.
Well, and Boston's been the best team in at least in the Eastern Conference all year. And they're proving why. I mean, they're very loaded. They have so many tools, so many weapons that when somebody is off one night, there's just another guy stepping up. And it just feels like the Cavs have really kind of been exposed in that for whatever reason, whoever that, there's just not another Joe. It's just been one Jimmy, right? And he sat out last night. So I've never heard Jimmys and Joes before. That's pretty funny. Never heard Jimmys and Joes.
It's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmy and the Joes. There you go.
Put that in the Louvre, man. I've never heard that before. That's fantastic. All right. I know one of the things I thought of last night was, everybody, and I'm sure you get this a ton because I probably said it to you when I first met you, everybody always asks about the Bulls. You guys played hurt. I mean, you were out there, hamstring, concussion, I think groin at one point. Elo, we can always go back to the shot. And that I think that was celebrated within the last week or so. Remembered, I should say, not celebrated, certainly in Cleveland, but the play that happened before that, I mean, Elo was literally limping his way back between you and Brad, kind of carrying him off the court, so to speak. You guys played through injuries and you mentioned it, the Cavs have had guys not play in this, but I think a lot of the other series that we've watched, the Knicks, for example, like the other night when they were losing by 40, I'm like, yeah, Tibbs should probably put the bench in. The problem is there's no bench to put in. Like literally there's like three guys sitting over there and that's it. It's just been interesting and it's unfortunate. So what was it like just dealing with the frustration of being injured at the most important time of the season, like the most important games? You all played it. We've seen it throughout the NBA playoffs so far. That had to be difficult.
Yeah, it's just kind of a mindset, I think, a little bit. When you play 82 game season, and back then we played like 8 preseason games. So you're talking, 90 games going into the playoffs. So that you're playing over 100 games. I mean, everybody's hurt in some form or fashion. I mean, everybody's body is banged up, and obviously some may be a little worse than others, but it was just a mindset that, hey, if there's any possible way that I can go out and I can play and I can give something to try to help our team win, because I mean, it's win or go home, right? Playoffs. And so you can't leave anything saying, well, I wish I would have done this, wish I would have done that. And so, when guys, I'm not judging people. I don't know what to the extent of the injuries are. But yet you do see certain guys seem to play through more stuff. Luka, I guess, is pretty banged up right now. He's playing through a lot of stuff. I mean, Jalen Brunson in New York is pretty banged up. But yes, they're out there dragging and doing whatever they can to try to get their team over the hump. So, yeah, you just never know. But it's obviously, you know, disappointing when you have two of your best players not willing to play or able to play in what might have been the biggest game for the Cavs season, trying to go back 2-2 and give yourself a real shot at winning the series. I just wasn't going to happen without those guys. I mean, I know everybody was like, yeah, we can maybe pull this off at home. But without your two main guys, it just wasn't going to happen.
You almost need the threat of them at 50. Even if you're at 50%, give me the threat of insert player here. Versus, you know, and that's no disrespect to the guys on the bench, but they're on the bench for a reason. They're not the starters. And just having the presence of that person, the threat of that person, even at 50%. 40%, whatever it is, at this time of the year, it's probably very important to have that. And it's been interesting to watch. I have to ask you this while you were talking, because, and I know we're those two old guys on the Muppets. We say it pretty much every episode, but the physicality of the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, when you played your era during the season would cause a lot of these injuries that we're probably seeing in the playoffs now. You know, the NBA now is kind of a coast through the, you know, get through, get in the playoffs, and then everybody ramps it up to late 80s, early 90s era basketball, which is what we're seeing. It's very physical. Guys coming off screens. I mean, guards coming off screens. I don't know how every one of them is not limping, because they're just getting hammered and they got to get fight through it. I mean, there's just a lot there. Do you think we're seeing more injuries in the playoffs because guys just aren't used to the physicality of the NBA because they really haven't played that way all year?
Well, I think that's a really good question. And I think it's a really good point. I hadn't really thought of that, but it makes sense. You know, it's almost like you get yourself in a certain kind of shape to participate. And like you said, not that they weren't in good physical condition,
right,
but yet the physicality was at a 2 compared to right, a 10, like it is in the playoffs. And so, yeah, I think maybe some injuries are maybe an instance of not being used to playing that way and getting banged harder than you normally do. And, you know, when we were playing in the 80s and 90s, the regular season, it got ramped up in the playoffs a little bit, but it wasn't going from a 2 to a 10. It was, it was going from a 7 to maybe a 9,
right,
or something like that. So, we were probably more used to that kind of physical activity on a nightly basis. So, I mean, that has some merit, I think, to a certain extent. And I will like to mention one point as well, you know, lately now that the Knicks have lost a couple games to Indiana, you know, it seems like Tibbs has taken a lot of heat. People are complaining that he's overplaying his guys, like, right, and he's wearing them out and doing it. You know, and yet, you know, I use the Cavs as an example because they're our home team, so to speak. You know, their main three or four, if you go through their minutes and games, I don't think any of the big four in Cleveland, not one of them played. Well, Jared Allen might have, but the other three didn't even play 60 games this year.
Wow.
You know,
right.
And they're getting injured. So I think it's kind of hard to blame guys that are playing a lot of minutes to get injured when guys that aren't playing, they're playing many games or minutes, and they're getting injured too. And I just thought that was kind of interesting. But, you know, when New York was winning, nobody was complaining that Josh Hart was playing 48 minutes a game.
Right.
You know, but now that they've lost a couple, Tibbs needs to give them a rest. But to your point, I mean, what's he supposed to do?
Yeah, he's got nobody.
I mean, you got to have a bench to put guys in. So, you know, I'm sure he's probably looked down the bench probably 25 times and like hoping somebody pops in over there that he could put in for a few minutes, you know, but it's pretty limited options for him. And,
right,
and, you know, they've overachieved. I think everybody knows the Knicks have overachieved this year. I mean, and Tibbs is a big reason for that, his approach and the kind of guys that they brought into there that are willing to grind it out every night. And yeah, I'm sure they are tired. I'm sure they are probably worn down because the intensity level has been high, but yet if they don't play that way, right, they have no shot. So it's a little bit of a catch 22 that they're in, but it'll be interesting to see if they can get their second win because they did look tired. They did look, you know, beat up, but And we've talked about this. It seems like there's always one game in a seven game series where it's just an outlier, right? Some team wins by 30 or whatever, and every other game's been close or something like that. So yeah. I wouldn't put too much stock in that they got blown out. Going back home, it'll be interesting to see how the Knicks respond.
It will, and their building will be electric. That's one thing I've noticed too, is these arenas have been, including Cleveland, I mean, big time shout out Cleveland, until they went down big the other night. What was that, game three, I guess it was, the first one back in Cleveland. That was awesome. I mean, that place, and the TV can only obviously pick up. I can't imagine what it would have been like to be there, because it was just coming through it sounded like the Garden in New York, or, some of these arenas have just been insane. And in Indiana was that way. It's tough. I got to think it's tough to play, especially when, so let me ask you, as a player, you hit that three that just blows the roof off the place, or the one right after the one that blew the roof off the place, and now it gets even higher. Like, do you hear that when you're playing? Do you sense that? Do you feed off of that as a player?
Yeah, you definitely. I mean, you hear it, but more importantly, to your point, you feed off of it for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it just infuses you with energy. I mean, Max Strus in the first half last night, he struggled during the series making shots, and he makes five, and it just kept building right in the first half. In last night's game, he hit the first one. People are like, "All right, he's maybe he'll get it going." Then he hit another one. Then he hit another one. And then it just the anticipation, like every time he took one after that. And as a player, you feel that when you're on the court, and it's there's not a better feeling in the world, when you're juiced up and you're, quote unquote, in the zone at the moment and feel like everything you shoot's going to go in, and you got the crowd ready to go crazy. Yeah, it's so much fun. And I think the home court in basketball, and I've always said that I think home court in basketball games is a much bigger advantage than maybe some other sports might be, but that's what's made the Denver Minnesota series so interesting, right?
Very interesting, right?
You know, here every road team is, game's been won by the road team, which is extremely usual. I think Minnesota's in trouble now just because, I mean, you won two in Denver. I mean, can you win two? Can you win another one?
Right.
Can you win another one in Denver? I don't know, but that's been a strange series, interesting series. I mean, you got to give Denver credit as well. I mean, they were done. People were writing them off. They were cooked 0-2 at home.
Yep.
And they, Jokic has just dominated the last couple games and shown why he's an MVP and raised the level of that team, and Jamal Murray as well. So, it's been some exciting games, some exciting series moving forward. And even Oklahoma City last night, goes into Dallas and wins on the road to make it 2-2. So, the NBA is getting a lot of good games this year, even though the quote unquote kind of marquee teams in a lot of ways and marquee players are missing. You're seeing some of these new faces, young players that are on the national stage, showing that the NBA is in a good place as far as young talent coming up in this league.
Oh, for sure. The future's bright. Minnesota, Oklahoma City, their games aren't on TV every Sunday. It's always the New Yorks and the Sixers and the Celtics. And, again, it's rinse repeat on that. So it's nice to see some of these young players who we don't get to see on a regular basis and start to identify, like, Ant from Minnesota. His stock is just going through the roof right now. Right. There's just a lot of guys that you don't really get to see, especially the West Coast teams. You just don't stay up that late to watch them play unless you have the NBA package and, you really are into the game. So it's really been fun to watch. The series have been amazing. I think it's great for the NBA. Like you said, it's been great.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Western, I mean, the Minnesota Denver game starts at 10:30
tonight. Is that right? I'm gonna have to.
I'll be lucky to get through the player introductions. On a Tuesday night. I mean that's, I don't know. That's another topic. Another topic for another day.
It really is. And the other night, the Cavs were the late game. I'm like, why at 8:30? And I know now I sound really old, but it was like, why are they on at 8:30? You know, anyway, yes, you're right. Topic for another day. I do want to bring up one topic that is very important. We are just a month away from Mark Price basketball camps. They're filling up fast. So any updates on the camps? Where are they and what's happening? Because they're coming up quick.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. We're about a month away before we start off the camp season. And yeah, all the camps are filling up quickly. We're excited. We've, like we mentioned in the past, we've added two more new camps this year. We're excited about the expansion. We have six this summer. And so we started out with one a couple of years ago. So the growth has been great, and the excitement for the camps and the quality of the camps, I think, has really made a statement, and people really enjoy it. The kids getting taught the game of basketball. We don't just roll the ball out on the floor and play pickup all day, every day. We do a lot of drills and skills, particularly in the morning sessions, and really trying to teach them the game. And honestly, you know, most of these drills and things that that we do are things that I did when I was a kid growing up that helped me to become a good basketball player. So it's tried and true, man. It works. I can vouch for it. Sure. They were Denny Price basketball camps back then. Now they're Mark Price basketball camps. Same type things. But hey, you know, I know it works. I know these things. We're giving these kids some tools. And then it's up to them to go take those tools and to practice and try to mold themselves into as good a basketball player as they can, whether that leads to playing for your high school team, junior high team, or, you know, one day maybe turns into a college scholarship. And, you know, maybe even, who knows, one of these days, maybe there's a pro that comes through. And as I remember being going to Mark Price basketball camp.
That's right.
It'd be exciting too.
That's right. And their locations are?
Avon Lake, Medina, North Canton, Hilliard, Lyndhurst, and then Bath.
I don't want to put pressure on those other ones, but Bath sold out in 4 hours. So, I mean, if people are competitive, you know, that one sold out in four hours. It is limited. It is filling up fast. And the last thing I'll say is I saw the shirts for this year's camps. Man, it's worth signing up just to get a shirt. I might sign myself up. Just, they got those in 2X or no?
I don't know, man. We'll work on that. We'll work on that.
They are really nice, though. I really like the camps shirts this year. Those are pretty cool. Okay. Somehow we're going to downshift to the faith segment now from that. But no, I wanted to talk today about, you know, I thought about it, Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. And it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And I have a quick story. I have a friend that is a quadruple amputee late in his life now. Yeah, I think it happened when he was like 38 years old. His whole way of life has changed. But he has a statement. He has a saying where he says, no more bad days. And you're like, are you kidding me? Like, and he has a lot of other issues because of, you know, what that has caused for him. But he says, no more bad days. And he just talks about how at the end of every night, he really will just take a minute and think about one thing that was good out of that day. You know, and he likes to joke like the ice at the Chick-fil-A was the good ice, you know, even if it's that, even if it's something like that or, you know, whatever it may be, something good happened that day. And he likes to focus on that before he goes to bed and not anything disappointing that may have happened. And he wakes up the next day knowing that God's mercies are new the next day, too. And it's a new day. I mention that because, you know, Cavs had a tough game last night. And I hate to make this, you know, analogy, but you know, a lot of us woke up disappointed this morning, or maybe it wasn't the Cavs. Maybe it was something that happened at work. Maybe it was something that happened in your family, whatever it might be. But what are your thoughts on Lamentations and just God's mercies being new every day?
Yeah, I think it, you know, we've talked in the past about talking about anxiety and being anxious and things like that, and how the scripture talks about, you know, don't worry about tomorrow. You know, today has enough issues of its own. You know, and so I think to that same vein, Lamentations is kind of speaking, you know, yesterday was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And but today's a new day that God has given us. You know, today is the day the Lord has made. Right. I will be glad and rejoice in it. Right. That same mindset that, no matter what happened yesterday, it could have been a bad day in whatever way that is or happens. But yeah, I'm going to praise you today because I know that whatever happened yesterday, God, you knew it was going to happen. It was part of the plan for my life. And you're going to use that to grow me, to make me a stronger believer, a stronger man, a stronger husband, younger father, whatever, you know, roles that you have in life. You know, we don't grow unless we go through difficult things.
Right.
And we know that as believers, that that's how God refines us, right? I mean, right. We have to go through the fires. We have to go through the difficult things to come out and see what God's teaching us on the other side. And so to have that mindset of, you know, counting it all joy, as the Apostle Paul said, when we encounter various trials, right?
Right.
It's not that it's joyful that you're going through it, but to count it, you know, to have that mindset, count it all joy, you know, because you know that there's a purpose. You know that there's a purpose in it that God's, and it's going to be joyful on the other side. We just can't see that yet.
Right.
And, but that goes back to our faith and our trust that we know God's in charge and we're not. And, yeah, there's going to be days that don't go the way we want them to.
Right.
It's life. And, but yeah, the scripture clearly says that all things work together for good.
Yeah.
To those who love God and are called according to his purpose.
Yeah.
And so good, bad, all the in between, mm-hmm. God's working it all for our good.
Right.
Yeah. It may not seem good at the time, but he's working it towards his good. And so in that reason, we can be joyful and we can be thankful and we can praise our Father for his goodness.
Absolutely. I like what you said, because it did, you know, knowing that it passed through his filter, right? I mean, good, bad, or otherwise, it passed through his filter and he allowed it. And standing, maybe praying that the next day, maybe the filter's a little thicker, you know? Maybe not quite so much pass through, but it did pass through his filter. And I always think of, you know, Job, where he says, what about my guy, Job? You know, like, I mean, and that was horrible. Job went through a lot. It's terrible. Like my friend Gary says, if you've never read Job, don't. But that being said, it, you know, God said, what about Job? And even then he set a filter and said, you can do all these things, but you can't do that. The one thing you can't do is this. And I hate to make that analogy with the Cavs, but, you know, today's a new day. They head back to Boston. Let's just see what happens. Hopefully all of a sudden guys are feeling better and get out there on the court, and that'll be what it'll be for the Cavs. But for us, if you had a bad day yesterday, you know, just remember that today's a new day. Mercies are new today.
That's right. That's exactly right. And even going to your Job illustration, as bad as it was and all that he went through, at the end of the day, God gave him more and greater things than he ever had
right.
in his whole life. But he had to go through a serious fire to get there. But God's always good. He's always good. And his purposes are everlasting.
Yeah. New every day. All right, my friend, we will be back again next week with a new episode, and, you know, hopefully we'll see where the Cavs are. And I don't want to do a post-mortem until we have to, you know, well, then sure. We can talk about all that.
It's just take it one game at a time, right?
Right.
Win the next one, then get a chance to go play another one.
Right.
Play for another day.
Yeah.
Right.
Win and survive in advance, as they say. So, you know, let's just do it one at a time. They've done this before. So it's not like this franchise hasn't done it before. There's a certain guy that's not there, but, you know, hey, they've done it before. If there's one team that knows how, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers. So let's go. Let them know.
Let them know.
All right. Have a great week.
You too.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Mark Price for Three podcast. Remember to subscribe, like, review, and share. I'm Josh Price, and we will talk to you again on the next episode.
You don't have to go very far looking for bad news because somehow it just finds you. So finding peace in the chaos can be really difficult, but it doesn't have to be because the River mobile app exists. The River is a Christian music radio station dedicated to playing music to help you get through life's toughest moments or life's happiest moments and everywhere in between. And all from artists who love Jesus and are real people just like you. Listening is easy. You can download it wherever you get apps from. Just search 1049 The River or listen online at riverradio.com.